Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 22 March 2023. Welcome to tonight's program. We're going to bring up a very special guest tonight, someone that we never had on before. I was introduced to her from Kevin Gallagher with the Truth Be Told Radio Network out of Connecticut. We're going to bring up a lady named Glory Towns. We're going to tell you about her just in a minute. Before I do that, though, I'm going to start off telling you that tomorrow, being Thursday, Lord willing, we'll be in office tomorrow from between 9 and 4 Eastern. We love your phone calls. We truly do. If you want to place an order tomorrow, anything we have in office, please do that. Shannon will be here to help tomorrow. Hopefully, Crystal will be back next week. You don't know yet. They're trying hard. But Shannon will be here tomorrow to take your orders or whatever you might want to do, give a donation, or you want to just say hi. We'll be here for that reason, folks. And don't forget, we're offering the Backyard Medicine book, While They Last. Believe me, folks, it's a book that you're going to want to have in your library. If you enjoy nature at all, you're going to want to copy this book because it tells you about everything that's on your property, around your property, out in the woods, where it may be, that you can use to make medicine out of or to eat. It tells you all about it, how to use it, full-color photos so you ever had no trouble distinguishing what it really is. And I put them on sale for $24.95, but once they're going, folks, I got them on sale. General regular price is $32.95, so quite a bit of savings on there. If you want them, you better call quickly, because once he's going, I don't think any more. The sale will be on to the end of the month at $24.95, and if you want to add a couple dollars shipping, we'd appreciate it. But that's $24.95 for the Backyard Medicine. And the two papers are offered here. Well, one's about 20 pages long. I think I'm about 15 pages long. The truth about Easter, if you want to know Easter and a pagan holiday that really is, if you really want to know that, we'll send the packet to read for a donation of $5, pay postage. If you want to add to that, funding the control grid, the food framework, and what they're doing to our food, folks, so you're reading that, things that's already happened in this country and around the world that they planned several years ago. It's already happening. I can name events that's already happened. That's, again, about 20 pages, $5 for postage. You want both of them, send donations, $7.50 if you can, pay both postage, we'll get them right to you. But the truth about Easter, the control grid, the food framework is something that you need to read, understand. I'm telling you the truth. It's something that you just got to have to share with your friends. And I got prayer requests tonight, if you don't mind, please, very quickly, because they're important prayer requests. Yvonne Lambert is a listen to the broadcast. She wants prayer for her grandson. She raised at 18, he had three unreachable brain tumors over the weekend. He's having trouble standing. His name is Ashton. So keep Ashton in your prayers, please. And Pastor Wiseman's wife, Shirley, had been on dialysis now for 7 years and getting very weak. Wow. And Pastor Michael Rowe's daughter, Kim, 40 years old, as thyroid issues and kidney failure. Now, folks, there's three prayer requests for Yvonne, for Yvonne's grandson, Pastor Wadman's wife, Shirley, and Pastor Michael Rose's daughter, Rose, 40 years old, needs prayers also. So please, just remember those three in your prayers tonight. Ask our Father's will be done. They'd be glorified in the situation. That's very important. I take prayer very seriously, folks. I truly, truly do. Now, we're going to introduce a guest. Her name is Glory Towns, like in the city, Towns. Glory, like in glory to God. Glory Towns is a retired registered nurse who ended up in the hospital with what they claim was COVID. And her ordeal that she went through and almost didn't survive is a horror story that you're going to have to hear to believe and understand. Now, keep in mind, she's a health professional herself, so she's not coming from a background of not knowing what's happening. Glory, are you there?
Yes.
I don't hear Glory. There she is. Welcome, Glory. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, and it's good to talk to you, and I'm sorry about what you went through. But for the glory of God, I'm glad you did, because you can share with others what happened and tell us what happened and get us maybe some enlightenment. And folks, you say, well, that happened during the COVID pandemic. It makes no difference. Hospitals today, now I'm saying this, and in most cases, hospitals today are the last place that you want to be when you're sick. I know it sounds awful to say that, oh, broken bone, maybe whatever, but these places are not what they were 20 years ago at all. And Glory, no. am I telling the truth?
Yes, you are. Very much so.
Well, you share what's on your mind tonight.
Okay, I'm ready to go. Back in 2021, I was sick in January, at the end of January, and I went to the pharmacy and did a home test, you know, well, their test, I should say, and it was positive for COVID. Now, this was even before the vaccines were even out, you know. And so I believe part of this whole thing that happened to me and others that have died is because Big Pharma wanted to be selling the vaccines out there, too, and have people doing that. So
sure,
taking those. But anyway, it's all what happened to me was on February when I was the first week I was positive for COVID. And then I called my doctor because I started getting sick, nausea, vomiting kind of thing. And I did not have short of breath, and I was doing okay, I thought, except for I needed something for nausea. So I went to the ER. I get there, and they did a chest x-ray, and they said, you've got COVID pneumonia on both sides. We can't let you go home. And I went, well, okay then. You know what? I woke up 2.5 weeks later. I had been on a ventilator in the ICU, and they did that right away after they admitted me. And my husband said I was sound asleep, that he couldn't visit, he couldn't see me, he couldn't do anything. They gave me whatever they wanted to give me, and they didn't, tell me until I woke up, of course. I never knew I was going to go on a vent. There was no reason to.
I'll ask you this. What made you go out? What put you out for that long?
Yeah. They give you medication that puts you down so you can't move. You can't move your arms. You can't move your legs. It's like when you go into surgery. You know, that's what happened. They literally gave me all these drugs, and they also a lot of, like, fentanyl, pain relievers. I didn't have any pain. They didn't need to give me that, but they did. They gave me remdesivir.
That is
the main protocol for all the hospitals now for COVID, and it's the thing that's killing people. I did not want remdesivir. I never would have wanted it, but I was looking at my records that I got from the hospital, and it said that they gave me a bolus, which means everything at once, like in 5 minutes, a whole IV bag of remdesivir into my system. And then they went high. That was at 100 milligrams. Then they went up to 200 milligrams over 4 hours. And what remdesivir does is literally shuts down your kidneys and causes death. It's a very, very harsh drug. And the only thing that really, really, truly works for COVID is hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin.
Yes.
Now, when I came and I was awake and my doctor walked in into my room in ICU, I didn't even believe I was in ICU. I didn't, what was I doing there? Anyway, he said to me, yes, we've had you vented for 2.5 weeks now. I was so glad you're awake. Well, I was awake, but I could not move my arms, my legs, nothing. They had me, plastered down with all these meds. And then he said to me, and I gave you remdesivir, so we're hoping that's working for you. I said, I don't want any remdesivir. Don't you give me any more. Or what I want is hydroxychloroquine, and I want ivermectin. And he said, no, flat no. He says, that's not the protocol. And see, all these things that happened to me, I thought this was just happening at this hospital, which was Fawcett Memorial Hospital in Port Charlotte, Florida.
Right.
So I did, this is only the beginning. What happened then was he decided they were going to put me on some other apparatuses to help me breathe. So they put me on a bypass, which is something people will put on at night, have sleep apnea, okay? They put me on that, and what happened was I could breathe. I really, really liked it. I was looking at my records. I had 99% O2 saturations. 100 is perfect. There's very, very few people that even have 100%.
That's true.
I had 99%. And you know what they did then? They took me off of it. And they gave me the more paralytic drugs, and they gave me, drugs that would cause me to be sleepy and not know what I was doing, but I did know what was going on. I really did know what was going on. And I want to tell you, even while I was sleeping in a coma that they would put me in now and then, I felt God's presence. He was there for me. He was showing me what warfare is like when we are fighting the enemy. And I know people all over the world are praying for me because I'm blessed to have Blessing and Glory Ministry. And I'm a preacher on Facebook for live preaching. Anyway, these people have been praying for me all over the world. Well, the Lord decided that he was going to use this mouth. I got a big mouth. I'll admit it. I'm one of those that I'm going to tell on you. You did that. I'm going to tell. Well, this doctor didn't like me because I was quite bold. I told him, I said, help me. Get me out of here. What's going on? And by the way, I only could do a whisper because I had that trach. Not a trach, but, the vent.
Right.
In my lungs for almost 3 weeks. And so I could only whisper. And then I couldn't get my arms out of the blanket. He was mocking me, laughing at me. And he says, is that the best you can do? When I couldn't get my arms out. And I said, well, help me. And he just laughed. He says, oh, I'm helping you. And I just went, no, he's not. He's scary. He scared me. I'll be honest. He scared me.
Let me ask you a question. Was anybody else in there that you could talk to, a nurse or anybody that would listen to you?
No. Many a time it was just him and me alone, and he didn't stay much more than 5 minutes. The nurses came in. I don't know what they did, and they'd go out again. I was isolated. I was not given any food. I was not given any water. I couldn't turn myself over. So I asked the doctor at one point, I said, would you please turn me? And they told me I was selfish because these nurses were so busy. And I thought, they can't turn me? What's going on here? That's what normal nursing care is for someone who can't turn themselves who's in ICU. You turn them every 2 hours. I think anyone knows that. Well, I got bed sores up my back end, literally, because they wouldn't turn me. I was selfish for asking for it, you know.
Wow.
I asked for water. They wouldn't give me any. I asked for those little green sponges, you know, that they use to clean your mouth out with.
Right.
They wouldn't give me that. They wouldn't give me any gel for my lips because it was, they were starting to get blistery and so dry. It was terrible. But they wouldn't give me anything. And finally, one nurse, I don't know where she came from because I hadn't seen her again since, was probably an angel for all I know. But anyway, she did give me those little green sponges. And she cleaned my mouth out, and it just felt so good. And then she put them on the table, you know, the bedside table of, you know, in the hospital. And no one else would use them. I'd point at them the best I could because I couldn't hardly talk. I couldn't hardly use my arms. I could not call the nurses. I had no strength to even push the button. I could not push the nurse's button.
Were you in a room by yourself?
So
were you in a room by yourself?
I was by myself all the time.
Wow.
I was in there 6 weeks in ICU. But then what happened was I used to tap. You know, like that. I would tap on my fingers. If I could get my arm out from under the blankets, I'd tap my fingers on the table so that I kept it up, so hoping some nurse would come, somebody. Finally, one nurse came one time when I was doing that. She said, "What are you doing?" And I just looked at her, and I took her hand, and I started crying. I just wanted someone to care. And you know what she did? She pulled her arm away, and she says, "I ain't playing this game." And out the door she went.
Wow.
Anyway, the doctor comes in. They had put me on a bypass, you know, like I said.
Right.
And when they found that I had 99% O2 saturations, they decided to take me off of it, which is a good thing, right? Except for then they decided to put me on some other apparatus, and I'll be honest with you, as an RN, I have no clue what it was they put me on. It was like a helmet, and every time I breathe, it would sound like a motorcycle. It roared, and it was the most loud, horrible sound, and it was every breath. So no one did anything. It just made all this noise. And in came one doctor or somebody, and he said, "Oh, that sounds like a motorcycle." I said, "Yes, it does." You know, I'm just shaking my head, yes, because I couldn't talk. Of course, I had this apparatus on me. And what he did then was he must have said something because then they took that off. Well, then they decided to put something else on me. They put this apparatus for breathing on my face that it literally covered my eyes. I couldn't see. I couldn't hear hardly because my ears are, I wear hearing aids. And, of course, you take them out when you're in bed. So I couldn't hear, I couldn't see, I couldn't move, I couldn't talk, and they had this apparatus on me. I couldn't even move my arms out from under the covers, like I said, the blankets. And what happened, excuse me, what happened was it kept falling off. Well, all I could do was turn my head, you know, on a pillow. That was it, left to right. And if I did that, the thing would fall off. So the doctor came in, he starts yelling at me, and he says, "Glory, I told you, if you ever take that off again, I'm going to have to tie you down." He took restraints. A doctor. Doctors don't do this, but this doctor did. He took the restraints, he tied them so tight around my wrist, and he tied my arms up to the railings, on the top of the railings on both sides, and then he took both of my legs and he tied both of those to the railings also. And I'm just laying there, couldn't move, couldn't do nothing. Then he put that breathing thing back on me. Well, then he left the room. And I was just going, "Jesus, Jesus, help me." I'm praying. I'm going, "What's going on, Lord? Help me." And so a night nurse came in. And you know what the night nurse said to me? "Why don't you just die? You'll be better off." And I...
Oh, my...
Yeah, so I'm laying there. I'm crying. I couldn't get a hold of my husband. He couldn't call me. And when he did call me, I couldn't talk. Or if I did, they would say, just hang up on her. She isn't making any sense. And yes, I was making sense. I wanted out of there. I said, get me out of here or take me to another hospital. What I didn't realize was this was happening all over America. This wasn't just this hospital. And that was the protocol put on by, you know, the government. Our government of the United States of America was killing people for money. And the doctors in the hospitals got either $10,000 to $100,000 per death of COVID. So they were even saying people had COVID that they didn't, but that's another story.
They were saying people that were shot to death had COVID. They were just doing that to get the numbers up, obviously. They made big money of it out of it, and they're still the thin up population with all these jabs. Yeah. People still dying from the jabs, so they're doing a good job at it.
Oh yeah, and big pharma is making lots of bucks on those vaccines, which is killing people now too with blood clots and all,
absolutely.
Heart attacks.
So yeah, all the time you're in there, only a couple of people really tried to help at all?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said all the time you're in there, only a couple of people tried to help?
Oh, that's about right. The only one that was in there most of the time was the doctor. And I'll tell you, he was evil. Oh, he scared me. But being a Christian, I would say, Lord, help me. Well, like I said, this nurse said to me that night, why don't you just die? Well, the next morning, in comes the doctor. And he looks at me, and he looks at the nurse, and he goes, ain't she dead yet? And the nurse goes, oh. And I said to him, because he took the apparatus off my mouth, I could whisper, but I whispered as loud as I could, and I pointed at him the best I could, and I said, greater is he, Jesus, who is in me, than you that's in the world. You cannot kill me. Jesus will not let me die. Because I'll tell you, Jesus came into my room. He told me I'm not going to die. He's going to use my big mouth. This is what, me telling you this now. But I didn't say that to the doctor. I just told the doctor. And then I was witnessing to the doctor. I told him, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. You can be saved. You can, you know, totally give your life to the Lord and confess your sin, and, you know, you'll be saved because Jesus, you know, was the ultimate sacrifice for you. And he goes, no, I can't be saved. And I said, of course you can. And then he said, no. I don't even know if you want me to say what he said to me.
Yeah, what did he say? Well, I mean, the listeners want to know, and I do too. What did he say?
He said, I can't be saved because I'm the son. I am a son of perdition. I did not know what that was, but I knew it was evil.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's the way he told you the truth.
He probably
he told
did.
You the truth.
He probably
I mean, that's
was
no
one.
Doubt. No yeah. doubt, this happened. How far into your ordeal? How long was you in the ordeal when he said that to you?
This was probably only about three weeks in now, and after I told the doctor, after he did all three apparatuses on me after the vent for 2.5 weeks at first, I still couldn't, you know, I had no strength, couldn't turn myself. I got no water. I got no food. I lost like 35, 40 pounds. Unbelievable. But anyway, what he did was he said to me, why don't you just die? Because I help people die. He said that to me. This is truth. And I went, okay. This is really scaring me. My heart's pounding. And I'm going, Jesus, please help me here. And you know, that man came right at my face. And then when I went, Jesus, he turned around and he walked right out. And I went, the power of the name of Jesus, I'm telling
Amen.
You.
Amen.
God protected me from that. Anyway, after that, he decided he didn't like me because I was talking too much and I was trying to talk to the people and tell them what's going on. My husband would call and I'd say, get me out of here. Get me out of here. They're trying to kill me, this guy. It's just not normal here. People are dying left and right. I saw bodies going out. You know, when you're in the ICU, you can see through one window door through the other ones, you know, sure, across the hall. And oh, geez, people were dying left and right, coming in and going. I was still there. She ain't dead yet. The doctor was mad. I would die. Well, Jesus said no, you know, but that's another story, but that's what happened. Anyway, my husband tried calling, and when he did call, I'd say, get me out of here. They're trying to kill me. You don't know what's going on. I am a nurse. I know this is not what they should be doing. They're not even giving me water. And you know what? A nurse was standing there. She grabbed the phone and she says, she's just delirious. Don't listen to her. Hang up. So my husband's going, oh, she must be. So he hung up. He believes the nurses and the doctors. And I'm going, you know, I felt so hopeless. I didn't know what to do. Well, here I was when this doctor had me tied down. And he come in the morning and he said, you know, ain't she dead yet kind of thing. Well, in came the respiratory therapist. And she had to, because I had asthma, she had to give me some breathing treatments, some albuterol treatments. So she had to take the breathing thing off of me. And then I talked to her. I said, please, call 911. Get me out of here. I'm still tied down, you know. You know, she said, oh, no, Missy, this is very legal what we're doing. I said, no, it's not. I'm an RN. You can't do this. I did nothing. And they says, and all she did was give me my treatment. And she says, oh, no, I ain't calling. No 911. Out the door she goes. And I went, Jesus, help. What's going to happen now, you know, because I was ready to give up and just die. And Jesus said, no. So I said, okay, your will be done. But what are you going to do for me? Help me. And you know what happened? They had to hire a nurse outside of the hospital to come in to sit with me because it was illegal to leave me tied up like that with no one watching me. That I do know as an RN. So what they did was they hired this nurse. So I'm on the third apparatus of breathing thing, and it kept falling off, you know, and the doctor said I was taking it off, which was ridiculous. But anyway, the nurse was there with me probably about 6-8 hours for that day, and she's, you know, trying to talk to me and make me happy, and I thought, well, thank you, Jesus, but she even loosened the knots on my wrists and on my feet that were cut off, you know, because you can't do four. Right. Positions like that. So my arms, of course, were kept tied yet on top of the rails, not down on the pad. And she was talking to me and being really kind, really. She turned around to do something, was looking at something. I don't know if she was charting or what she was doing, but I turned my head.
Glory, hang on through the break. Go to break. Don't lose that thought. Remember, the nurse will turn around and do something, folks. Have any comments you want to add next half hour? You can start calling about 20 till, be good, at 844-769-2944. Powerful story, powerful testimony. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best unstable foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Demand.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle's real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Get on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back. We're talking to Glory Towns, and she's telling her, I don't use the word story, her absolute ordeal that she went through while in a hospital being treated, and I'll just say it like it is, a demonic entity. It may have been an individual, may have been what we call human, but it was somebody that was possessed and known by powers outside this world. This so-called doctor, to me, sounds like a Satanist. He probably got a kick out of killing people, and who knows what kind of rank he could have built in the kingdom of Satan with this kind of work. So you were in the hospital, and you were talking about a nurse that looked away, and was taken care of, and looked away, and what happened then?
When when the nurse walked away, I mean, she turned her back to me. All I did was turn my head, and it fell off again. And she happened to turn around then. She didn't see it fall off, but she looked at me and went, "Oh, no, no, Glory." And then she went, "Oh, you didn't do that, did you?" And I went, I shook my head. No, I said I couldn't. My arms were tied. I was tied down. How could I have taken that thing off? Granted, it kept falling off, but see, the doctor was using that for an excuse to tie me down, because there's like 22 commonalities of all the people that have died of COVID, and that was one of them. Every one of them were restrained of some sort for some reason. I mean, they really had us in synthetic drugs to hold us down, but even to tie us down, too? Come on. You know, what was that all about? But
so, these, so you're saying people who died of COVID, people in the hospital with COVID, most of them were tied down, you said?
Yes. That's a commonality of what the ones that died. They would tell their loved ones that. And when they found out everybody was telling the same story, they realized this was really happening. I experienced it. It did happen. And I'm sorry for anyone who has lost someone to COVID because they probably went through a lot of hell, too. What happened anyway? Let me go back to what the doctor said to me. Then after the nurse took and saw that I did not take the apparatus off for breathing, she went and told the doctor, and of course he undid me. Okay, he took off the restraints, and then he took off the apparatus completely too. I was totally just a little bit of oxygen and room air. There was nothing. I was fine. And he came in again, and he says, "Why didn't you just die? You know, I help people die." And I went, "Yeah, I'll bet you do, and they all go to hell. So what good is that?" These people, there was people coming there to die. That's what he told me anyway. But anyway, I can tell a story.
And Bob, I want to change topic real quickly. How old was this doctor?
Oh, he's probably late 40s.
When that, are you willing to share his name?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm ready to quite do that yet because I have to watch out for legal. I already said the name of the hospital, but I'll tell you, anybody who knows Fawcett Hospital in Port Charlotte's going to know the head pulmonologist of the ICU there. He's in the hospital all the time. He's the head one that takes care of the COVID people and anyone with any kind of lung problems.
Okay.
So that's as far as I'm going to go with it right now until I talk to a lawyer about it.
All right. Now you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So he comes in and he undid the restraints, okay? Well, then he said to me, you know, I help people die. Why don't you, you know, just die? And I looked at him and I said, no, Jesus was here and he told me I will not die. And I said, greater is he, Jesus, who is in me than you that's in the world. You can't kill me. You can try anything you want to do. God said, no. I said, I was ready to go home. I was. God said, no. So I told him, I says, you can do anything you want to be. For what you've done already, I should be dead already. And he says, yes. And I said, well, God said, no. So you can't do anything.
So he admitted he was trying to kill you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he said I help people die. He said he told me everything. See, it was a lot of one-on-one stuff with him and me. And then you know what happened after that when I told him that, you know, he didn't like it that I said, you know, Jesus said you can't kill me. Well, I think he was out then to prove that he could. So you know what he did? He ventilated me again the second time. I couldn't do nothing. My husband back home is thinking, oh, my God, she got worse. I wasn't even on anything to help me breathe. I was wanting to go home. I couldn't get out of there. I couldn't move. I couldn't hardly talk, anything. It was hell on earth, I'll be honest. It was awful. And there were so many, like you said, demons around that area. It was just awful. That doctor had to have been possessed, I'll tell you. But anyway, he said that to me. He said, I'm going to put you back on the ventilator. And I said, no, I don't want it. I don't need it. Guess what? I was back on the ventilator for a whole week again, knocked out in a coma. And he called my husband and said, your wife got worse and she's dying, so get ready for the funeral. So my whole family came from up north.
Wow.
And they came down for my funeral. They had pictures. They were, you know, getting things ready. And I was told, the doctor told my husband, I had 0.5% chance of living. And it would only take a miracle to save her. So get ready. Be prepared. She's gone. Well, guess what happened then? I'm still here. After that week, he told my husband, she's dying. dying, but we have one last thing we can do. And my husband said, what? And they said, they put a tracheotomy, you know, in your throat, you know. You've seen those where they connect them to a breathing ventilator. That's the last resort because it's easier to get the air into the lungs from the tracheotomy than it is from the mouth, you know.
Right.
So that's the only thing they do that to make it, make the family happy, that they did as much as they could. So they were all set to do that, and they put me under, or still under anyway, because I was on the ventilator. They took me into surgery, which I didn't know was going on. And the doctor said, now he told me this, it was interesting. He had the knife at my throat, ready to cut. And I had a vision from the Lord. He showed me my lungs. They were like a set of lungs that were slimy green, horrible COVID in them. And I saw a big hand from heaven come down and like an ice cube tray. He cracked the one, and then he cracked the other lung in the vision. And I could breathe. And I'm going, oh, I can breathe. I can breathe. I can breathe. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. And I mean, I was sleeping, okay? So, I mean, this vision, have you ever had a dream while you were in surgery? Not me, but this time, this was not a dream. It was a vision. And so what happened was the doctor saw my, all of a sudden, my O2 saturations. They said that we were way down in the 60s, I think it was, which is, you know, way low.
Right.
And they said it was going up, 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 up. All of a sudden it went up to normal. And he said he dropped the knife and he couldn't believe it. It was a miracle. And all the people in the operating room, all the nurses and doctors that were there with him, saw my O2 saturation going up, which means I was breathing normal on my own.
Right.
So what he did was he didn't put the trach in. In fact, when I woke up then in my ICU room, all these doctors and nurses are all around my bed, and I'm going like, what's going on? You know, I'm thinking. And then the doctor said, you're a miracle. And he's the one that said he was going to kill me. And I went, oh, I already knew that. Jesus healed my my lungs. I'm totally healed. I can breathe. I can, you know, I don't need anything. And all these doctors and nurses heard me say that, and they all said, you are a miracle. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. We can't explain it.
Well, the doctors and nurses didn't seem like they were on your side then, or what? I mean, what happened?
Yeah. I think that maybe some of those doctors and nurses, there were too many witnesses. How do you explain that, you know, that he did it anyway when they saw that happening? And so Jesus did it at the right timing when there was all the witnesses, you know, so he had no justification to do a tracheotomy. And he literally called my husband and told my husband, your wife's got a miracle. And my husband said, what? We've been praying. We've been believing. But, yeah, your wife's got a miracle. He wasn't happy. But not my husband. I'm talking about the doctor. Happy. My husband was happy. But you know what? The next day I went right out of the ICU. No, nothing. No oxygen, nothing. I was breathing on my own just fine. Went into step down for several weeks. They gave me drugs there. And they had called it. I was telling people what was going on. So the doctor didn't like what I was saying, and they didn't like what I was saying at that hospital. So a psychiatrist comes in, and he asked me if I knew what day it was. I did. He asked me where I was. I knew. He asked me, who's this man? My husband. And he goes, how long you been married? And I says, 28 years. This is the end of March now, okay, of 2021. And April is our anniversary. So I said, oh, 28 years. And my husband goes, no, it's 27. And the doctor goes, oh, well, what is it, Glory? And I said, our anniversary is in April. It'll be 28 years. Right now it is 27. I'm telling it like it is. You know what he did? He put me on Seroquel twice a day. which is an antipsychotic. He put me on that in the step-down unit because I was talking. So what my husband didn't know it. I didn't know it. There was no given authority to do it but himself. And I was there for a couple of weeks, and they wanted to do some, PT on me and get me going because I couldn't even feed myself. And the nurses had to feed me. At least I finally got some food and water. But I wasn't progressing because all I could do is sleep. Well, the Seroquel makes you very sleepy. I didn't know why I was so sleepy. They finally said, well, we're going to send her to a nursing home for rehab. Okay, so now I've been in the hospital a couple of months, and now they transfer me over to a nursing home for rehab. And over there, I'm there for about a month. And about halfway through, I'm going to the nurse. I said, why can't I wake up? I'm sleeping all day, all night, all day, all night. What's going on with me? I can't be that weak. And you know what she said? Well, maybe you should stop your Seroquel. And I said, what? What Seroquel? She says, oh, doctor ordered it for you at the step-down unit when I was at the hospital. He ordered me a Seroquel twice a day. And that made me so sleepy. I told that nurse, I said, don't you dare give me that anymore. None of it. I called the head of the nursing department there in the nursing home, told her my story, told her what they did. I don't need any Seroquel. I know what's going on. And I said, I don't want this. And she said, that's fine. And I said, and I want to go home, start working on it. Get me home care. At this point, I still couldn't even walk. I could finally move my arms a little bit and be able to feed myself, but I couldn't sit up straight without, any problem. I was still on the bedpan. I couldn't stand. I couldn't walk or even stand, much less sitting up. So they worked it out. They got me 2 weeks later. I went home to home care for a solid month in my home. But then I started progressing very quickly because I was home. Amen. I had my husband and my sister-in-law came, and my family was there.
When did your husband realize that you were telling the truth all along?
He didn't really know. He didn't know, and he didn't understand it. He just said, my faith in God, I believed you were going to be okay. That's all I could do is just pray and believe. That's all I could do, and you were in the doctor's hands. I said, yeah, but honey, you need to start listening to me when I say, get me out of here. I mean it. And he has apologized to me. I mean, literally. And I'll tell you, that just healed my heart quite a bit because I felt so rejected and alone in the hospital and the step down and the nursing home. And, even the nursing home, they weren't allowed to visit me that often. They had to do it like I had to tell ahead of time when they were going to come. And then they had only on a Wednesday or a Monday or something. And then they only had a little bit of time, less than an hour. I mean, why?
Wow.
Yeah. And I never, ever got any pastor care. I wanted pastor care. I wanted someone to read my Bible to me. No one did it. I asked someone to even put Christian radio or TV on. Nothing. I had nothing.
Wow.
I had no help from anyone. So what happened with my... Well, at home here, I finally got discharged. They taught me how to walk. They taught me how to talk. They taught me how to sit up, how to roll over in bed, everything, home.
Now, folks, the phone line's open. If you want to call and talk to Glory, 844-769-2944. There's about 8-9 minutes left. If you want to call, you better hurry. But now, you've been out for how long now?
This is now June 1st. They discharged me. It's been almost 6 months.
Okay. And since then, has anything happened to expose what happened to you? Is anything on the move to get this evil corrected?
Since this happened, I was getting post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, I was going, because no one was believing me my husband said he did, but he really didn't know. And it really hurt me. And I started questioning myself. And then the Lord did something really awesome. I went for counseling because I had to, because I had to deal with this somehow. And I was praying, Lord, you said I was going to be your speaker, you know, your word. What do you've got to show me what was true, what wasn't. And you know what he did? He had me meet up with a doctor from Sarasota who was an ER doctor who was also in Sarasota Hospital who had COVID, and they were trying to kill him. But he's a survivor. And what happened was they killed his roommate, who was in his 40s and a jogger and strong man, everything. And he said, I tried to advocate for him, so they tied me down. Then they took me down to the basement, you know, where they put the corpse. I mean, it was awful what he went through. And this was at Sarasota Memorial. I was at Port Charlotte. So I found out, oh, my gosh, this was happening all over. My husband met the doctor and told the, you know, his part of the story, what he heard from the doctor. And so did his wife was there. We met. Four of us. And then they gave us, Dr. Stephen gave me former feds group to call. And I called them and I found out these are people that were working for the government that could not tolerate all of the bad things that were going on. The not only the COVID thing, but all other things too. But they're really into getting protocol stopped because people are still dying of it and there's no reason to. There wasn't in the first place. But they scared. They put on a scare tactic.
Well, how many people have you met besides the one doctor or the nurse, whatever? That was
hundreds
of them that went through this. I went through this. Okay. And you're speaking to groups cross country, telling your story. And what's coming out of that? The ones you meet with this coming weekend, the ex-feds, What are their intentions? What are they trying to do?
Okay. Monday I was at Sarasota Memorial, and we had a rally, and we had the media there, and people were telling their stories and telling the truth of what went on. And at that night on the news, of course, they gave a little blurb of an all-day rally and then went to the hospital and cited with the hospital, and the protocol, of course, goes on because the people believe the media. Anyway, I'm going to Texas this weekend. There's a rally on Saturday in San Antonio, Texas. I will be speaking there, telling my story. And there's been 350 people that are in the group that will be there besides the people from the outside, first time hearing all of it. So it's going to be quite a weekend. It's going to be quite a weekend.
When are the ex-feds, are they moving legally towards these people? Or are they? What's their plans for that?
Yes, there is class action suits coming out. I know for Sarasota Hospital alone, but I know that the former feds, and there's one called HALT Hospital Homicides, they are coming against the protocol. And there's, I'm trying to think of all the names of it. Oh, CHL, no, I can't think of what the letters are. But it's talking about crimes committed against humanity and the hospitals. And that's another group. So there's a lot of groups out there that are fighting against this and are taking it to lawyers. And the first thing to do was to get our records to prove it. Well, I got my records. And I'm telling you, the paper, we had to print it out because it was electronic, you know. When they sent it, we downloaded. And it's over 3 inches thick of paper. I can't even begin to read it all. And the things I'm reading, I'm just going, my gosh, I was not sick, and I knew I wasn't. And they would say she's alert and oriented. Why did they put me on a vent twice? Why did those things happen to me? Why was I tied down? You only tie somebody down when they're very, very combative. I wasn't combative. I couldn't even move, you know? They wanted me to shut up because they knew I was a nurse and I would tell, you know? So That's what's going on. There are people that are coming out with it now. I've told, you know, my husband knows it, and he's met other people, and he's heard. I've been getting interviewed quite a bit over.
Well, yeah. This needs to be exposed. Let's take a phone call from Ohio. Let's talk to Gene in Ohio. Gene, come on in.
Hey, I got to go real fast because you're short on time. So hi to both of you. I worked in a hospital in an incident I saw. A gentleman was wanting out of the hospital, and they wouldn't allow him to leave. So he called the police. The police came, and they told the hospital that you cannot hold him against his will, and he left. I thought I'd let you all know that. So, yes, I saw that happen.
Wow.
So that's something to remember for everybody.
That's not the first time I've heard that story. I tried to get people to call 911 for me, and they wouldn't do it. Yes. And there's another survivor out there. Story, what you're saying, sir. Yes.
Go ahead, Gene. Go ahead. Still there, Gene? I guess Gene's gone.
I'm sorry.
I guess Gene's already gone. So we're down about the last 2 minutes here. What do you want to tell the people? What do you want us? What should we do? What can we do? What's going on?
Start waking up and look at what's happening in our country. This is end times. And if you are a Christian at all, you already know what is happening. But those that are not and are still wondering what's happening, you need to stop listening to the media and listen to the truth, because truth needs to be told, and truth sets people free. And this is really happening in America. I wouldn't let my loved one go to a hospital for the world. In fact, I want to say I was told I got COVID again last September. And you know what? My doctor says, go to the hospital. You know what I said? No way. And you know what I did? I went online and found a doctor who gave me hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And you know what happened? I got better in 2 days.
Yep. That's a fact. I know that to be true. I know people have done the same thing. Matter of fact, I ordered some from a pharmacy out of the country and have it in my gun safe if I need it.
Uh-huh. I know I've taken ivermectin. Well, I've taken hydroxychloroquine. They were always saying that's a dangerous drug. That's been around for years. I was a missionary. I lived in Kenya. In 1990, we took, in the 90s, we took hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic so that you didn't get malaria.
Yes, that's for it. It's been around for years.
You know,
we are flat out of time, Lori. We're out of time. I'm so sorry, but thanks for joining me tonight. And please keep me informed what's going on, okay?
Okay. Thank you for having me.
God bless you, sis. I'll be talking to you again soon. Folks, we'll see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Y'all have a great night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.